helps put some visualization around what happened some 2,000 years ago. So this morning, we're continuing on in our series, The Call of Christmas. The shepherd's call to praise is the sermon this morning. The short film, dramatized, was taken from Luke 2. This morning, I'm going to read a narrative I wrote that puts some context around our Christmas story this morning. My dramatization, if you will, of Luke 2, 1 to 20. So please, imagine with me as we travel back some 2,000 years ago. Close your eyes if you wish, but please don't fall asleep. I will try not to drone. The town of Bethlehem lies in the central west bank of modern Palestine, about 10 kilometers south of Jerusalem. It has a climate much like Southern California. We can all relate to that. It was the beginning of a nice mild winter in terms of a southern climate when Mary and Joseph made their trip to Bethlehem. It was about a 130-kilometer trip from Nazareth in Galilee to Bethlehem. For Mary, being in her third trimester, this was not an easy trip. Joseph, being of the house and line of David, had to travel to Bethlehem, the town of David, for the census that was being conducted. Caesar Augustus, the Roman emperor, issued a decree for a census. Like most governments, wanted to know their tax base. Quirinius was the governor of Syria at this time when Joseph and Mary embarked on their journey. Joseph was under no obligation to bring his betrothed, but he, being an honorable and considerate man, thought it best rather than leave Mary behind, subjecting her to the gossip-mongering, the stern judgmental looks, the ridicule she would likely suffer as a result of her pregnancy. It would be far easier to travel riding on a donkey for the next week until they reached Bethlehem. Mary rode the whole time without complaint. Really? There were frequent stops to give her a rest and let her take the needed time to refresh herself and get the relief from bouncing on the back of a donkey with this child she was carrying firmly resting on her bladder. When they arrived, it was late afternoon and the rooms in the town were all taken by other guests. And to make matters worse, she was in some discomfort from the journey. There was a place that was pointed out to them that would give them shelter, but they would be sharing this place with the livestock. They were in no position to continue looking, and Joseph worried for Mary. Gladly, he accepted the offer. It was in the humblest of places Mary gave birth to a son. She wrapped him in the traditional strips of cloth to give him support and comfort. She was tired, and Joseph looked around and found a manger, a feeding trough used for the animals. He thought it would be suitable to lay the child in. So they laid the baby in the manger. It was a beautiful, clear evening with the stars shining brightly. Not far off, in nearby fields, there were shepherds tending their flocks. These flocks were for the temple sacrifices in Jerusalem. These shepherds were a ragtag bunch, looked down on in society. Shepherds were despised by the Orthodox good people of the day. They were quite unable to keep the details of the ceremonial law. They could not observe all the meticulous hand washings and rules and regulations. Their flocks made far too constant demands on them, and so the Orthodox looked down on them. This was not the career path that one would dream of for their life. They were so looked down on by society that they were considered unreliable and not even allowed to testify in court The priests tolerated them as they were necessary to tend the flock for the sacrifices. This particular night, they were resting, chatting. How beautiful and clear a night it was. There seemed to be more stars that night than they have ever saw before, and far brighter too. They were enjoying the quiet evening. Suddenly, there appeared to them a being that shone as bright as a giant bonfire. The light that surrounded them had a warmth and a glow that somehow gave comfort, even though they were frozen with fear of the unknown. In the light, they saw what they could only surmise was an angelic being. They were as scared as they had ever been in their lives, but still comforted by the very warmth that was more than heat, but an unexplainable aura, glory-like, revealing God's majesty. Then they heard the angel speak. "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people." The voice was reassuring and eerily comforting. And somehow, they were starting to feel an unexplainable joy. It demanded their focus and attention, and they were entranced by it. It went on to say, "Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." These words struck to the very heart of the shepherds, as they knew that the Messiah, the Anointed One, was coming one day from their teachings of the prophets. They remembered the Messiah, the Anointed One, Lord, that he would be born in Bethlehem, according to the words of the prophet Micah. The angel announced a Savior who will continue his saving work throughout human history. The angel continued and said, "This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger." The shepherds thought the strips of cloth were typical garb for a newborn, but the manger was a distinctive sign. There would not have been another baby in the vicinity lying in a manger that night. They did not understand why they, lowly shepherds, were given the sign. God had chosen to work through very ordinary people and things to bring to earth a Messiah who would be accessible to people from every circumstance. Just as they were absorbing the words of the angelic being, a whole army of heavenly beings appeared with the angel and began praising, chanting, and singing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." This was the most awesome, wonderful sight and sound they had ever seen and heard. They were totally awestruck and stood amazed, taking this spectacle in. It was beyond any of their wildest imaginations. The angels were welcoming the birth of the Anointed One and offering glory to God. The shepherds could not stop looking or listening, and they watched until the whole heavenly host left and went out of sight to heaven. The shepherds had no sense of how long this all lasted, or if they were still alive and in the field. When they came back to their present reality, they spoke with a sense of urgency and excitement. The very experience seemed to have filled them with wonder. Awe and the glory of God filled them all. They needed to go into town to find this baby and that the angel had told them about. They ran with an ease of a marathon runner into a town to find this baby in a manger. They arrived in the town excited and eager to find the child. They frantically looked in the places where there were mangers, and it didn't take long for them to find the baby and his parents. With this commotion, there were a few others who came out and stood by. The sight was just as the angel told them. There in a manger was a newborn babe child lying wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger, with his parents there looking lovingly at their child. When the shepherds came up, they slowed their pace and calmly approached the manger, still with the exuberance of their encounter, still fresh in their hearts. They shared the story of this encounter and all the angel told of the child. Joseph and Mary listened intently, taking in what the shepherds said. Mary, having not heard anything since her encounter with the angel that spoke to her, quietly delighted in the news, for this was reassuring to her, and she continued to ponder all the events from that time on in her mind and heart concerning her child. The shepherds, after some time, left to go back to their flocks, praising and glorifying God, and continued to tell of the child and the pronouncement by the angels to all who would listen. This was a life-changing event, and that would never leave them. They would continue to look to the future with an attitude of expectation that God had sent the Savior and things would now change. What a simple, amazing story. Luke, the physician, the historian, writes to us here. Through this simple historic story, he reveals many truths concerning God. I just want to share a few of those with you. God is sovereign. God has fulfilled prophecy by using humans, emperors, governments, edicts, and the circumstances of our lives to bring about his will, often without us knowing. There doesn't have to be a miracle or an unusual event for God to be at work. God, to be sure, works miracles, but he can work without them too. Mary and Joseph ended up in Bethlehem to fulfill the prophecy by Micah. But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. There was no room for Jesus to be born in the inn. This was symbolic of what was to happen to Jesus. The only place there was room for him was on a cross. He sought entry into the overcrowded hearts of us. He could not find it, and still his search and his rejection go on. Luke's Christology is shown through the angel's words concerning Jesus. Jesus is the house of David. He is Savior. Neither Matthew or Mark uses this title. He is Christ, Messiah, meaning anointed one, and he is Lord. This is the message preached by the apostles concerning Jesus in Acts, a book which Luke also wrote. The sign. One would expect the sign given to be something extraordinary, some proof like the heavenly host will lead and appear over the baby in the manger leading the shepherds. No, instead, the sign is as common and simple as another baby born to the poor to be found wrapped in cloths lying in a feeding trough. The Messiah has come for all. It is marvelously simplistic. There is no pomp or circumstance. A child is born into the humblest of circumstances. Luke has kept the story clean of any decoration that would remove it from the lowly, the poor, and the marginal of this earth. All can identify with this child. The heavenly host sings of peace, that wholeness of life which God grants to persons and societies through a restoring of balance in all the forces in creation which influence our lives, a sense of well-being, contentment, and wholeness to believers, whatever their outward circumstances. This future hope will be fulfilled in Jesus. But for whom? On earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. This peace is available to all those that believe. Mary and Joseph are alone, staying in a place where livestock are kept. Mary gives birth and wraps her baby in strips of cloth with no recognition or fanfare. Not even the fanfare of a typical Jewish celebration and a song to welcome the arrival of a newborn son. For when a boy was born, the local musicians congregated at the house to greet him with simple music. Jesus was born in a stable in Bethlehem, and therefore that ceremony could not be carried out. But The heavenly host took the place of the earthly minstrels. And the angel sang the songs for Jesus that the earthly singers could not sing. All through the reading of this story, we must have been thinking of the rough simplicity of the birth of the Son of God. We might have expected that if he had to be born into this world at all, it would be in a palace or a mansion. There was a European monarch who worried his court by often disappearing and walking incognito amongst his people. When he was asked not to do this for security's sake, he answered, "I cannot rule my people unless I know how they live." Well, Luke tells us we have a God who knows the life we live, because he too lived it, and claimed no special advantage over common men. The fanfare here in this story is with the shepherds in the field. Mary and Joseph hear from the shepherds regarding the heavenly visit, with the pronouncement of the child and the heavenly host praising and singing. Mary and Joseph, under difficult conditions, are busy. They are busy with the work of childbirth. And they don't experience heaven's visit here, but they hear it from the shepherds. How unusual. But theirs is the baby, and that is enough. Luke's focus here is on the shepherds. They belong in the story not only because they serve to tie Jesus to the shepherd king, David, but also because they belong on Luke's guest list for the kingdom of God. The poor, the maimed, the blind, the lame. And so the shepherds go. They go into Bethlehem, the city of David. The shepherds are the scene, and the scene are described with some of Luke's favorite words: wondering, pondering in heart, making known the revelation, praising and glorifying God. The stable is bare, but the glory of God floods the story. Luke shares appropriate responses to the good news, and they include great joy, verse 10, praise, verses 13, 14, and 20, curiosity to confirm its truth, verses 15 and 16, amazement, verse 18, telling others, verse 17, the thoughtful meditation, verse 19. It is clear in Luke there is a spirit of doxology. Glory to God is the proper response to the mighty works of God. The shepherds at the end return praising and witnessing of the wonder they had seen and heard. This is the response of those who meet Jesus. Let this be our response, not only in this season, but carried throughout our lives, to praise and glorify Christ. Let us be like the shepherds, Rob and Karen, who are called to praise. I invite the worship team to come back. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are once again thankful for the gift of your Son. And we, after meeting your Son, Lord, return praising and glorifying him because he is worthy. May this be our heart's desire, that we carry with us the rest of our lives, and that we witness of these events in our own lives and in our own hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.